This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. When the U.S. Supreme Court issued its ruling in June that made same-sex marriage legal, it meant that gay couples could marry across the country. It also meant that part of Michigan's constitution is now obsolete. And the Citizens Research Council of Michigan says there are several sections of the state constitution which have been made inoperative over the years. They have issued a report calling for those parts to be removed. The report is called A Reminder to Clean Up the Michigan Constitution. Craig Thiel is Senior Research Associate for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Craig Thiel, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Let's explain to our audience, is it mostly court decisions which make some part of the Michigan Constitution obsolete or invalid over time?
That is one mechanism. It's probably the largest source of invalid provisions in the Constitution, but we've also had changes to the federal Constitution that have made obsolete provisions in our state Constitution. An example there is we have a provision that says you have to be 21 years of age to vote, and we know that the federal Constitution makes the requirement 18 years, and of course the federal Constitution trumps state Constitution, so that provision is obsolete by virtue of a change to the federal constitution.
And Michigan's constitution was drafted in 1963. The amendment to lower the voting age across the country to 18 came in the early 1970s, correct?
That's right. It was the 26th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. So there was, 10, 15 years where we were operating under a 21-year age requirement, and then it changed with the federal change.
So same-sex marriage, voting age, what are some other examples in the Michigan Constitution where there have been changes either at the court level or in the federal Constitution which have made some section of Michigan's Constitution now invalid?
Yeah, so some of them are pretty general, and people would be familiar with them, and others are pretty deep down in the weeds. One example of something that people might be familiar with is term limitations on federal representatives. We passed in 1992 a provision that attempted to limit the number of terms that our federal delegation, federal representatives, could serve in Congress. And in 1995, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states could not limit federal officials. That was the province solely of the federal constitution. So that provision is obsolete.
And just to clarify here, the provision in there which allows for term limits on the governor and the state house and senate, that stood because the state can enforce term limits on those offices.
Exactly, and the federal constitution gives states the authority to limit the terms of office for state officials, governor, attorney general, secretary of state, senator, representative.
What are some other things that are in the Michigan Constitution which right now are just taking up space for the most part?
Right. We talked about the same-sex marriage ban that was added to our state constitution in 2004 through a citizen-led initiative. Article 1, Section 25 of the Michigan Constitution now is obsolete because of the ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court allowing for same-sex marriage. There's a provision in Article 2, Section 6 that limits the ability to vote based on ownership of property. And the U.S. Supreme Court in 1970 ruled that that could not be a condition of exercising the voting right, and ruled that that provision is effectively unconstitutional in our state constitution. And then there's another provision having to do with state aid to non-public schools. So this would be private schools, religious schools. In the 1970s, there was a push to put a constitutional provision in that would prohibit aid to these type of entities. And through the courts, it was ruled that direct aid to non-public schools, private schools, was okay. However, you couldn't prevent a non-public school student or a private school student from enrolling in a public school and getting part of their education through a public school, and that provision still is allowed under our state constitution.
So if it's decided that it's a good idea to find all of these sections of the Michigan Constitution, as you suggest in this report, and remove them in some way, what's the actual process for doing that?
Right. Well, it can go about, I guess, one of three ways. All of them will have to involve a constitutional amendment. The legislature can't just go in and say, well, the federal courts have ruled that this provision is obsolete and we have the authority to take a marker to the Constitution and or an eraser and strike them. This will have to come from a vote of the people. And that can originate either with the citizens themselves. They could propose a constitutional or a series of constitutional amendments to do this cleanup. That would involve collecting signatures and then going to the ballot and getting approval that way. It could originate with the legislature, who would propose a series of constitutional amendments, get the requisite votes in each chamber to then put that on the ballot and then get voter approval that way. So that's the second method. And then the third method, we'd have to wait. Again, it would require a vote. But if we were to call a constitutional convention, this would be something that would be addressed in that venue as well.
The current Michigan Constitution allows the voters the opportunity to call a state constitutional convention, but that only comes up once every 16 years. At least it automatically goes on the ballot once every 16 years. The last time was 2010, so we're still a ways out from voters getting the opportunity through that method to call a constitutional convention. If it were to happen, otherwise it would have to be vote of the legislature or petitions gathered, that sort of thing?
Exactly. It would take the legislature acknowledging that, you know, this is the fundamental law of the state and it should reflect, you know, what the current status of law is. And they would put forth some cleanup amendments. You know, this would go on the general election ballot in 2016, so it wouldn't cost anything in terms of a special election. They could put it on the general election ballot and just explain to the voters, you know, we're cleaning up the Constitution. Of course, citizens and are apprehensive about amending the Constitution. A lot of the things we've seen voted on can be very emotional for folks, divisive. You know, this would be an issue, I think, that with some explanation and some voter education, most people would say, yeah, that makes sense.
Now, as you say in this report, most of these provisions can be removed from the Michigan Constitution and just not replaced and would not affect the operations of government. There is an exception, though. You do say that there is one change that the state should make. And actually replace it. And that has to do with how legislative districts are drawn. What are you proposing here?
Right. So our report kind of looked at the Constitution through two lenses. One was what provisions are obsolete because of actions by the federal Supreme Court or through the changes to the U.S. Constitution. And those provisions could be just struck from our state constitution. And then there's provisions that we found inoperable, but probably need to be replaced in some form. And the one that has come to the forefront and has received some attention through the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in the Arizona redistricting case has to do with our provisions in the Constitution dealing with congressional and legislative redistricting. Those provisions were ruled unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court in the early 1980s. And as a default, the legislature in Michigan has controlled that process exclusively in terms of both setting the standards by which redistricting occurs, as well as the actual drawing up of the district maps every 10 years. And our recommendation, in short, is that we should examine what the Constitution had in place in terms of a redistricting commission as well as the standards for redistricting. And those should be spelled out in the state constitution and not solely up to the discretion of the legislature.
I want to note this is not a new idea from the Citizens Research Council. You guys put out a report on this a few years ago, and I believe we might have interviewed Eric Lufer when it was first published. But can you explain why it is that a group like yours, which is a nonpartisan research organization, has taken an interest in this? Because there are certainly some groups right now who are affiliated with the Democratic Party who would like to see some changes because they think the Republicans have been putting their thumb on the scale. Why, from a more of a good government perspective, is it a good idea to have some sort of an independent commission drawing legislative districts?
Right. Well, first of all, I think it's important that we have this process enshrined in the Constitution. So we suggest that at a minimum, however we decide to go about redistricting, it should be locked into the Constitution and not subject to the whims of statutory law, so that if someone doesn't like the outcome, they can just change a law and therefore change the outcome. So, and we looked back in past constitutions and we found that each of the previous constitutions had the process of redistricting spelled out in those documents. And so the people in the past have spoken and said, this is important. We need to lock this into the Constitution. And so when we did our report that you referred to in 2011, we surveyed other states. We looked at kind of best practices in redistricting, and we came to the conclusion that it makes most sense for redistricting to be done by an independent commission, not unlike the one that was proposed in our 1963 Constitution that was subsequently ruled unconstitutional because of other provisions in the section dealing with redistricting. But having that nonpartisan, independent commission would divorce the process from the political process that takes place currently with redistricting.
And just to be clear, can you still satisfy all of the requirements in, say, the federal law, the Federal Voting Rights Act, and those sort of things, and still have some sort of an independent commission oversee this and draw the maps in a way that would generally be viewed as fair?
Yes, and the commission, however it was formed, whether it was appointed by the governor, the legislature, or a combination thereof, would be held to the standards, both federal and then state standards, that are spelled out preferably in the state constitution. But if those are too prescriptive, for sure, the legal standards that are laid out in the Federal Voting Rights Act, as well as state statutes. So these would be attending to provisions of single-member districts, equal representation, preserving communities of interest, respecting political boundaries. These would be the standards that we would expect the independent commission to adhere to when it came up with its final product.
Going back for a moment to these other provisions of the Constitution, which, as you say, are really at this point inoperative or have pretty much been invalidated by other events such as federal court rulings, if they're not being enforced, what is the danger of leaving language in the state constitution, which at this point has become archaic?
Well, I don't know that there's necessarily any harm in that, but I think if we're going to have a written constitution, it should be up to date. And if people are going to pick up their state constitution from the office of their state legislature or from the library, whether it's at a school or a public library, and they pick up the document to learn about how government in Michigan is set up and is functioning, it should be accurate. So, yes, you're correct. There's no harm in having these obsolete provisions in there. But I think if we're going to have a constitutional democracy, the document should be reflective of the current reality of government. We shouldn't expect citizens to have to then carry along a stack of federal court rulings or the federal constitution to then cross-reference whether or not a provision is obsolete or not.
Does this perhaps illustrate the nature of how a state constitution functions quite differently from the federal constitution, that state constitutions are rewritten much more often, they're amended more often, And therefore, perhaps maybe they get into some details that the federal constitution doesn't, that the federal constitution's more of a broad overview of government, and that state constitutions maybe reflect, in the case of, you know, citizen-led referendum for amendments, maybe the times, you know, the mood of the moment, and that this is how they end up perhaps with some sections in them which you look back on and say, well, boy, at this point it really doesn't apply to how we're living. Is there just a real fundamental difference between our federal constitution and our state constitutions?
Most definitely. I think Michigan is a good example. We've tended to legislate a little more in our state constitution, and kind of there's definitely the building blocks and the foundations of our government are laid out in the constitution, but I think layered on top of them have been some very specific provisions that are generally reserved for, you know, the legislative arena and statutory law. There's provisions, lengthy provisions, on the disposition of fees for hunting and fishing in our state constitution. Most of that type of language would be reserved for, you know, statutory law in most states. And so these are, you know, the results, I think, of some of the ease in which we can put things into our state constitution. As we know, it takes a threshold number of votes, 10% of the vote for governor, to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot, and it takes 8% of the vote for governor to put a statutory-led initiative on the ballot. So these are thresholds that maybe 50, 60 years ago were difficult to overcome, and putting those provisions in front of the voters were difficult, but today, with paid signature gatherers, it's easier to get access to enshrining, you know, public policy preferences into the state constitution.
Craig Thiel, thank you very much for your time.
It's been my pleasure.
Craig Thiel is Senior Research Associate for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. A link to their report, A Reminder to Clean Up the Michigan Constitution, can be found at crcmich.org. There's also a link at our website, wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.